Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hey, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
Welcome to Wonderful. This is a show where we talk about things we like that's good that we like that are into, that we're into specifically. And
we should start doing a show where we talk about things that we're not into and then that other people are into and that we actively.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, just to spice things up in the recording studio.
That's interesting. We've talked about sort of evil wonderful, blunderful, mm-hmm. if you will.
Which, as I understand, is the promo that is running this week.
Yes. I believe you are correct. But you're suggesting a sort of like proxy wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's just like
you know. Almost like archaeologists. We try and figure out like
Now, I will say that sounds like more work.
it does.
Because, like, I don't know, we could try to, like, freestyle it like NASCAR.
Like, what's the deal?
What's going on over there?
All of a sudden, it's like a stand-up routine.
Yeah. That would be unlistenable.
Yeah,
I think that would not be a good show. Let's keep doing it the way that we've been doing it. No, like, that one was bad. There's no idea. There's no such thing as bad ideas, just bad actors. Okay. So do you have a small wonder that you wanted to share with the class? You want to tell us about? You want to do that? You want me to do it?
Yeah, why don't you start?
Strike's over. Thank mm-hmm. you so much to our negotiators for getting that sweet deal. And so there's a lot of stuff that we have not talked about.
True.
Because of the strike. And I'm going to start things off right now, kick things off with Our Flag Means Death Season 2. Just finished it a couple nights ago. And
incredible.
Incredible work. Incredible stuff.
Like, the first season was phenomenal, and the second season is a very dangerous thing for a show that has a phenomenal first season.
Especially when it ends, the first season ended with such a, like, shocking thing that happens, and it's like, well, how are they gonna move on from this? How are they gonna walk this back?
Yeah.
And they did. And they did a fucking great job with it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Wish it was a little bit longer, only 8 episodes. I you know, left me wanting more, but they did a lot this season, so that's it's laudable.
Okay, I came up with my thing.
Okay.
When you have a reason to clean your house.
Okay.
Because for me, it's the most motivating thing there is. I personally have relatively low standards for the cleanliness of our house. But if I know that we are going to be hosting people in any form,
yes.
then I suddenly have a motivation and I feel good about it.
You're
I'm like,
activated.
I should do this all the time. Yeah. And I won't.
No.
But, you know, having that reason is, you know, a good push.
It's having two people in our home who are actively working against the forces of cleanliness
makes it
a challenge.
We need to really harness Second Son because he's still at that age where he's like, oh yeah, let's clean up. He doesn't realize, you know, that he could rebel against that.
Yes.
We need to really tap in before it's too late.
It would be wild if, like, we gave him an allowance but not Old Son.
Yeah, right?
That,
be like,
that
well,
sort of economic disparity, bringing that into our home.
Uh-huh.
A choice. And a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
I go first this week. In step with this being able to talk about film and TV again, I must confess that when we were preparing for our Halloween week episode, which was, what, just like 2 weeks ago, I prepared a whole segment on a scary movie. Because that is what I usually do in that time. And then we literally sat down to record, and I looked at my notes, and I was like, oh, wait a second. I was so excited to talk about a scary movie around Halloween that I forgot that that is not acceptable. But now we're a little bit past Halloween, but I'm going to go ahead and do this segment anyway.
Yeah.
Because
it's not like a Halloween-themed film at all.
No, it's several films, actually. It is all the works of Jordan Peele, all of Jordan Peele's horror films. I should say, specifically all of his horror movies. I wouldn't lump Keanu in with that, although Keanu is a fine film. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about it's not a trilogy, but I'm talking about Nope and Us and Get Out. I fucking love these flicks a lot. They are some of my favorite, like, horror movies of the last decade, and I remain, like, incredibly impressed and inspired by Jordan Peele and the work that he has done in this space.
Yeah, no, he, I mean, for a variety of reasons, I don't think anybody expected him to perform at such a high level from the very beginning.
From the jump.
You know, yeah. Like he obviously has a really strong background in comedy. Mm-hmm. And some people might have known that he loved just the horror genre, but like, wow.
Yeah.
It's not just like narratively interesting. It's like visually incredible too.
It's firing on all fronts. Yeah, we watched all of Key and Peele when it was on the air. I think we saw Keanu in theaters.
Yeah, that's probably true.
When it was announced that Jordan Peele was making a horror movie, like, I remember we were both fucking stoked.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, were so deep into his comedy work. But I don't think we or, like, really anyone else was prepared for Get Out because it really changed the whole game. I'm not going to spoil, like, anything about Get Out for the, like, three or four people who haven't seen that movie, but it is just a remarkable slow burn horror movie that explores this like insidious obliviousness of middle class white America.
Yeah, it starts out in a very conventional way. You know, it's like a couple, they're meeting the parents, you know, you think that like it's going to be a traditional kind of horror movie, and that is not what happens at all.
No, not even in the least little bit. You get some staggering performances from Daniel Kaluuya, who is just incredible in honestly everything that he does, but as the sort of like, you know, audience surrogate of meeting this, meeting his girlfriend's family and learning the sort of like horrifying truth of their reality is truly breathtaking. Bradley Whitford and Catherine Keener.
Uh-huh.
Perfect as the mom and dad of that family. Bradley Whitford is, I think, one of the funniest actors alive. Uh-huh. And Catherine Keener. I mean, this movie has so many like highlights. The very first scene with Daniel Kaluuya and Catherine Keener sitting across from each other as she tries to like hypnotize him out of his smoking addiction is maybe the most incredible scene of any horror movie that has ever been released. I think about that scene all the time, and it is iconic in so many ways. And
yeah, it's very rare that I can remember a scene from a film that vividly.
Yes.
But 100%, I
because
can picture it.
That movie has a lot of different types of scary things that happen in it, which I think is what is so strong. Like it has sort of creepy, you know, tension. It has
Like a mystery.
There's a mystery. There's some jump scares. Yeah. There's some, you know, slasher level sort of horror. But this scene is on like another level of like being the horror of being trapped within one's own mind is like fucking out there and incredible. And so Get Out was nominated for Best Picture and Best Actor for Kaluuya and Best Original Screenplay, which Jordan Peele won, making him the first black screenwriter to ever win that category. Fucking great.
Yeah.
Fucking great on so many levels. To see a horror movie recognized at the Oscars at that level is incredible. Seeing Jordan Peele recognized as a black screenwriter is incredible. It was such a, you know, it's a thrilling launch pad. And so everybody was like, well, shit, man, how do you follow that up? And the answer was with Us, which didn't receive like nearly as much critical acclaim. I remember when it came out, folks were not quite as like bowled over by it as Get Out. But man, I love that fucking movie.
Yeah.
I love Us.
Yeah.
It is so funny and just terrifying.
There's still like elements of like social commentary.
Of course,
you know, it's still beautifully filmed.
If you have not seen Us, it's about a family on vacation, trying to survive as sort of murderous doppelgangers come out in droves to murder. Winston Duke plays the dad of the family, and he is just hysterically funny throughout. Even once sort of like the scary doppelgangers come out. Lupita Nyong'o is mesmerizing.
Yeah, I mean, you'd expect her to be incredible, but she is particularly incredible.
She's incredible in two different ways, right? Like, this movie has the cast of actors play their, you know, family yeah. on vacation, and also their doppelgangers.
Yeah.
Each one brings like something special to both performances, but Lupita's portrayal of the mom and the like sole speaking member of the doppelganger contingent
is
I mean, it's creepy as fuck and incredible. The movie ends with a fight scene between them set to this incredible remix of I Got Five on it, which is I still go back and listen to occasionally because it just absolutely rules. I love Us. You know, it's not as I think maybe groundbreaking as Get Out was, but it is, I don't know, it belongs to a category of horror films that I really, really like, and seeing the ways that it subverts that category and kind of perfects that category was like truly astonishing to see. And then the most recent one is Nope, which we just watched. I had seen it earlier this year, and we just watched it as like our scary Halloween movie this year because you had not seen it. And I think it's actually my favorite of the whole bunch.
Wow.
It is a horror movie where a family who owns a ranch for horse actors squares off against an alien entity that is my favorite and I think sort of scariest representation of an alien I've ever seen on film. The way that it kind of keeps the monster behind the curtain and then blows a breeze through that curtain occasionally to give you just glimpses of the thing before revealing it in a scene that is genuinely gave me nightmares and kind of like stuck in my mind for a very long time. It's incredible. It is incredible how much it builds up the threat of this alien before slowly kind of like revealing it until there is a sort of climactic thing towards the, I mean, honestly, middle of the movie that happens at an unfortunate show at a sort of fictional ranch that is, it's just fucking terrifying. So, 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 so scary.
Why would you say it's your favorite, do you think?
Well, after that, you know, sort of climax scene, there's like a very extended, very scary sequence that happens. And then it sort of turns into Home Alone a little bit, where all of a sudden it is not
that's
like,
true.
How are we going to survive this thing? How are we? There's, you know, horror movies are pretty much universally formulaic, right? There's a whole concept of like in the slasher genre, you have the final girl, format where there's just the one surviving girl who has, you know, perhaps is the most virtuous of all, although that certainly has been sort of subverted in so many ways. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to fight back, or I'm the only one that's going to escape, or I'm going to X, Y, or Z. This movie is like, okay, there's this huge fucking scary alien in the sky. Is killing lots of people, and it is basically posted up right on our house, on our land. Let's get a fucking video of this thing. We're going to get a video of this thing. And so then it becomes like a almost heist movie of how are we going to not fight back about this thing, but we are going to be the ones who introduce real alien footage to the world and become famous because of it. And then it gets into sort of the folly of that position while also like having it be a fucking incredible showdown that is scary and exciting. And
it feels like as you're talking about it, I'm realizing that like the most of the other movies, it like feels like a real acknowledgement of some like real horror movie tropes, you know, like the other films obviously had horror elements, but this one seems like, hey, I love horror movies and I'm going to take my favorite parts of them and put them in one film.
Yeah.
Because like them figuring out how to defeat, you know, the monster is like such a traditional way to like approach that in a horror movie, you know, where they're like learning about it and they're coming up with a strategy and it takes multiple people. Like, I don't know. It's interesting. I hadn't really thought about it in the line of like, here's what typically happens in a horror movie, but it has that for sure.
And of course, Daniel Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer, fucking great. Kiki Palmer in particular is so good in this movie.
What's the name of the actor that plays the guy that owns the stadium?
Oh,
Stephen Yeun.
Yeah. Stephen Yeun is very, very, very good.
Oh my gosh.
He has a monologue that phenomenal. He gives where he talks about this fictional SNL sketch of this horrifying onset incident that he survived as a child, where he talks about how Chris Kattan is just slaying. Chris Kattan is out there just killing it. it's so good. I think the other two movies are like incredible, right? They are horror classics, some of the best to come out. This one, it feels more, I don't know, the way that it is sort of chaptered out. There is not like constant scares that happen. There aren't like a lot of jump scare things that happen. It is a movie of set sequences. And those are separated out by, you know, little title cards with the different names of the horse actors, or in one case, an ape actor. I think it's incredible. I think it is masterfully made. And,
yeah.
The best horror movie I've seen.
There are very few directors right now that I get excited every time one of their film comes out. And that's like definitely true with Jordan Peele.
I will see anything that he does.
There are a lot of people that don't love horror movies. And I will say, like, obviously there are elements, as I mentioned, and there's violence to a degree, but they're such good films.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm hesitant to tell people, like, even if you don't like horror movies, you should watch these. No, they're fucking scary.
Like, they are very, very scary is the other thing. I can't think of too many people like Jordan Peele who, like, I get excited about every other, like, every, maybe like Edgar Wright. I would want that into that category.
Okay.
I wouldn't say he has made far more films, and some of them have not been great for me, but he's also like, he has such a stylish way of making films that I really, really enjoy. I feel the same way about Jordan Peele. Just the execution on every level is just incredible. Exploring like concepts and inversions of horror genre tropes. And I think he's just brilliant. So this Halloween, if you're looking for a film to watch, perhaps consider one of these three. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Thanks. We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
This huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe 6 things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep.
And
Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Lectric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at lectricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C e-bikes.com.
Have you ever wanted to know the sad lore behind Chuck E. Cheese's love of birthday parties?
Or, my Saturday mornings are reserved for cartoons?
Or, have you wanted to know how beloved virtual pet site Neopets fell into the hands of Scientologists?
Or, how a former Mattel employee managed to grow Sega into a video game powerhouse?
Join us, hosts Austin and Brenda, and learn all of these things and more at Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries, now on Maximum Fun.
Okay, so 2022 Rachel talked about breakfast, which was way too broad, and I had to have known that at the time. Like, I can't just say breakfast and then everything that falls within that category is eliminated.
I'm glad that you've grown enough to accept that about yourself.
I don't also wonder if 2022 Rachel really thought that the topics were so infinite that I could just say a meal of the day.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this is a breakfast item.
Okay, so you're saying that you have not completely plumbed the depths of breakfast.
No, because, I mean, if you think about it, there is breakfast as a concept, which I may have talked about in 2022.
Yes.
And then this is an element of breakfast.
I see. Okay, so we're diving down.
Mm-hmm.
Next time, you're going to get into an ingredient of the food stuff.
Probably.
Okay, what do you got?
This is the breakfast sandwich.
Breakfast sandwich is great.
Yes.
You and Russ, I want to sit you and Russ for a shakedown across the table. I would listen to a podcast that's just Rachel and Russ talk breakfast sandwiches.
I would like to make that podcast.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, didn't him and Chris Plant brought us breakfast sandwiches when we were in New York
and they were fucking great.
Very good.
Very good.
Okay, breakfast sandwich. This is not something I enjoyed as a child.
No.
I was trying to remember my first breakfast sandwich. And I don't know. It probably would have been college, maybe.
We all experiment with breakfast sandwiches in college.
I know. Do you have any recollection
of my first breakfast
sandwich?
I don't
even know for sure. I maybe have had one Egg McMuffin in my life.
That's it. I mean, that's the question, right? Are we talking, do we lump Egg McMuffins in there? I was not a big Egg McMuffin guy or Sausage McMuffin or whatever McMuffin. I just found the biscuit it left me wanting. The English muffin left me wanting, but then...
Well, you come from an area that has a fine appreciation for biscuits.
That is... Oh, what the fuck am I talking about? Yeah, Tudor's Biscuit World is just like coming home.
Oh, is that the jingle?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, we would get some Tudors. We would get some Tudors.
You exposed me to this when... Maybe my first time in Huntington, first or second time.
Yeah.
And you warned me that this was my whole day.
That's it.
And it's exactly
when we go in town now, I can't do Tudors because we have children and we need to be able to watch them.
And none of your family members do anymore either.
No, yeah, because you can't take a 2-hour turbo nap in the middle of the morning.
Yeah.
You can't take a 2-hour nap at 10:30 in the morning anymore because there's children, there's mouths to feed, unless we got them to eat Tudors too. And then we could all as a family hold our torsos and rock back and forth while falling asleep.
Some of it is the savory breakfast, right? Like, our children are not at an age where they appreciate a savory breakfast.
No.
And I don't know that I got there for a while. There were a lot of ingredients that were a little unfamiliar to me. Like, I didn't eat a lot of breakfast sausage or, gosh, ham in particular. Like, a lot of these breakfast sandwiches have, like, a ham element.
Yeah.
I obviously was comfortable with eggs and bacon, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And cheese, of course. But it wasn't until I got older that I was ready.
Yeah.
You know? So breakfast sandwich, unsurprisingly, during the industrial age when people did not have time to eat breakfast in a more elaborate way, there was like a big surge in on-the-go meals, breakfast carts like on the factory floor that had these like sandwiches ready to go.
Hot and ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how you do that in a cart.
You wrap it in foil.
Period. Oh, yeah. I guess that's fair.
Remember foil?
I love foil.
a lot of this is traced back to the UK, which is called like a BAP sandwich.
BAP.
Yeah, which speaks more to the kind of bread than the contents. But it's
we heard about that on Bake Off in some season. They kept talking about BAPs. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck that means.
Here, it really took off fast food.
Yeah, of course.
This is what I really loved in my research. So within a like 3-year period, both Jack in the Box and McDonald's started releasing a breakfast sandwich.
Okay.
And what speaks a lot to the authority and influence of McDonald's is that a lot of the things I read said, you know, a weird happenstance at the same time, like exactly just two fast food chains. And they said like between 69 and 71. But then if you do a little more research, it's like clearly Jack in the Box in 1969 released a breakfast sandwich. And then 3 years later, McDonald's had one. Just like, whoa, what a coincidence.
I feel like McDonald's rarely trails behind in that category. They instead have bold experiments, not so much these days, but in like the 90s when it was like, we're going to go ahead and get out ahead of bratwurst and pizza. We're doing those now.
McDonald's had the McGriddle, which was crazy. I don't know that I've ever had one.
Oh, man. It's fucking good.
I didn't really like McDonald's pancakes. So the idea of making that a sandwich
wasn't necessarily a pancake. It was thicker than a pancake with little delightful crystalline nuggets of syrup embedded inside of the
thing.
Interesting. But they made you feel so shitty. I think some of the worst that fast food has ever made me feel in my life was from the McGriddle.
Interesting.
Because it was something like 14,000 calories in a single one. Like it was so much. It was so much stuff, and it would. I mean, it put Tudor's Biscuit World to shame, which is saying something.
So part of the thing with Jack in the Box is it was 24 hours. So they came up with something called the Breakfast Jack, which was ham, fried egg, and American cheese, and a hamburger bun.
Mm, cool.
Whereas Egg McMuffin, apparently the creator that was connected to this invention really liked Eggs Benedict. So tried to come up with a fast food version. That's where the English muffin came in.
Okay.
Minus, you know, the hollandaise, like the messier
sort of
element.
The defining characteristic of a
right?
Eggs Benedict. But
by the way, like in my research, I became really fascinated with Jack in the Box, and I'm not going to get into it, but they have had so many hills and valleys in their time.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating story. I would encourage anybody that is curious to go look into Jack in the Box.
They are voyagers.
Yeah.
Of food.
Yeah. There's a point in their career where they decided to stop competing with like Burger King and McDonald's and started being like, what if we have tacos and egg rolls?
Yeah. Just, cool.
There, you cannot read too much about Jack in the Box. But it's a breakfast sandwich. I will always eat a breakfast sandwich any time of the day. I like putting a little hot sauce on there.
That's what I was about to say next. A little hot sauce on a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah.
Really, really.
Specifically Cholula in our household. Our son actually does eat breakfast sandwiches, but he eats them as a main course, and he removes the egg and cheese.
We've talked, I think, about Saucy Biscos on the show before. I don't think I will ever say the phrase sausage biscuit in normal speech. Like ever.
See, I still do, but you know me. I'm so precise in my language.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for me to compromise, you know.
Saucy Bisco is just so fucking fun to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and fun to eat.
We have to be careful, though, because if anyone else ever watches our child, they will have no idea what he's talking about.
Hey, you want some small wonders?
Yes.
That our audience sent in? Micah says, my small wonder is fabric shavers. I just used one for the first time on a favorite skirt of mine that had pilled pretty bad. And not only is the skirt in much better shape now, but the process of running a gently buzzing object over fabric and watching it become smoother was fantastic.
I have been trying to come up with the reason that I need one of these because it does seem amazing.
Yeah.
But I can't think of an item of clothing I have that would really need it.
Yeah. We are still sort of in our
loungewear.
COVID comfort loungewear era.
Sweaters, right? There's an opportunity in sweaters,
sure.
I think. But yeah, anyway, they look awesome.
Somewhat related. We have a little scraping comb for a rug in our living room that sheds super duper bad. That shit is so satisfying.
Yeah, I know. I've been looking for it because it's so easy to misplace.
I know. Matthew says, my small wonder is playing video games you played as a kid. I just picked up Skyrim after a few years, and it always brings back a lot of nostalgia of playing it at 11 years old when it came out.
Whoa.
That's pretty young for Skyrim, yeah, it feels like.
I when you mention that, all I think about is when you were living with our mutual friend. Wasn't he playing that constantly?
Yeah, I mean, that would have been in
2011, 2012,
which I think is pretty much right around when Skyrim came out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that game completely took over our lives. It was sick. It was great. It was still a fun game. Still a fun game to play. But obviously, I do this a lot with lots of different types of games. Thank you so much to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. I think Bowen's on tour right now.
Oh, yeah?
I bet you that's a very, very fun
experience. Oh, that would be cool.
Experience. I'm not sure where to get tickets for that, but if you enjoy Bowen's music, you should go and see him. Thank you to MaximumFun.org for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows that they have on there. Shows like Judge John Hodgman, which we were lucky enough to guest on at a live show here in DC a couple weeks ago, which is a real fun time. We have merch over at MacQuarieMerch.com. You can go and see some of the offerings we have there. And also, our Candle Night show is coming up. You can find details for that over at McElroy.family. All proceeds for that show are going to go to Harmony House, just like we've done in years past. We're going to have special segments with us and guests, and it's always a very, very good time. And again, McElroy.family is where you can find out details for that. Gather around the hearth and enjoy some Candle Night's warmth with us. That's it. Our house has been buzzed by the same giant helicopter four times since we've been recording this. I think it's Joe. I think Joe's trying to...
You think he just joyrides sometimes?
I think he joyrides. I think he's a big fan, and so he wants to know, like, he's hanging out the side of his best friend's ride, like, is Rachel talking about breakfast sandwiches?
Oh, I love those things.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.